Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Your favorite ghouls, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, crack open the can and fill to the top. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, this is your podcast and it's called Haunts and Hearts.
No matter where you're joining us, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. My name is Johnny Laquasto. Find us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. And we have a really fun show for you today. First off, let's bring in the two stars of Haunts and Hops. Up first, formerly of Ghost Hunters, a veteran paranormal investigator, one of the most brilliant individuals I know, and she's always good for a couple of sound bites or two. Find her on social media at Ashley Trobe, because she is none other than Ashley Trobe.
Yo, what's going on?
Soundbite number one. Nailed it.
Perfect. You know, I got to be a voiceover actor. It's all I've ever wanted.
That's all you've ever asked for in this life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And also,
speaking of voiceover actors.
Yeah, speaking of voiceovers, what a transition it was. She does it all. She's hilarious. Find her at Anastasia Washington. She is Anastasia Washington.
Hi. That's me. I'm good.
It's good to be rolling here. Karen Rontowski, amazing guest last week. Anything she says is fascinating to me. Like, and I like how she just hops around from topic to topic.
Oh yeah.
She literally hopped. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That's why the show is called Haunts and Hops, because we hop from topic to topic.
We do. If only you could see us.
There's that, and our sponsor for the show, Tavor. The greatest app in the history of apps. Follow it at TAVOUR. We're going to talk about the beverages we are enjoying for this evening. So, Ashley, I will go to you first.
All right. Well, I decided to go with something subtle. It's literally called Subtle. And it is by Arrow Lodge, which is a beer company that is local to me. It is 7.3%, and it is a West Coast IPA. Go figure. Who'd have thought I'd be drinking an IPA today? But it's really good. It's very piney and delicious and very simple. It's a very independent craft brewery, which I'm sure you guys all know the logo that they have for that when you buy independent craft. But they have this cute little upside down bottle, which I'm showing on camera, which some of y'all can't see. But yeah, they're pretty fantastic. And their artwork on their cans is always really fantastic. I am a sucker for when beer companies do fun artwork. So,
all right.
It's nothing like a good can, you know?
Well, besides the can, what would you rate the beer?
Oof, out of 5? I'd say 3.5.
Wow, you are a tough critic. You said you enjoyed it.
I do enjoy it. Okay. 3.5 doesn't mean I dislike it.
Fair enough.
I'm real picky, and I won't apologize for that.
Don't apologize. I'm just way easier to impress. Anastasia, how about you?
Well, I am drinking the Son of Leod, which is a Viking Pilsner from McLeod. And they were nice enough to drop off a whole bunch of beer for me. And so I've been enjoying their beer. It's delicious. It's very local to me. They're in Van Nuys. And if you're in Van Nuys, they have great pizza and bites that you can also and get growlers full of custom beers and stuff like that. And it's really good. I mean, it's a light, like it's hot summer type of beer, I would say.
Pilsners are definitely on the rise right now. That is something where I work. I've been having to order a lot more Pilsners lately. IPAs are slowly falling out of trend, and cream ales and Pilsners are on their way up. So
yes.
Keep that in mind. That is a trend that is absolutely happening right now.
Well, and this one has a whole like story of like about Valhalla and how it's brewed in the Viking style. So it's like having a Viking in your mouth.
Because we all know Vikings are known for their brewing.
Now they are.
Yeah, you're just pretending you're drinking some Thor right now, and I think it's adorable.
But yes, I would give it like a 3.75.
All right. Solid rating.
Yeah, I think it's really refreshing.
Why is 3.5 bad? 375 is good.
To me, I don't know. If I love a beer, okay, even if I like a beer, I'm going to give it at least a 3.75. Like, even to me, a really bad lager or a bad pilsner, I would still probably not give it less than a 2.75 because I feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
He has beer guilt.
Yeah, I really do. A lot of effort goes into it because I know I
have a few things that get under two. And I mean, I'm not going to name brands or beer companies. There could be one called Anchor. I don't know. That might be the only one that I would rate below a two. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what will not get below a two for me. And that is what was delivered from Tavor to my doorstep. By the way, if you want a discount, use the Tavor app. Use the code HAUNTS10. That's HAUNTS10. And boom, after you get the first $20 worth of beer in your cart, you know what they get, ladies? They get $10 off automatically.
Oh, snap. That is a beer on us.
Mm-hmm. At least, depending on how many beers. You might be able to get a couple beers out of that $10. But Tavor is amazing. We are so happy to have them as our sponsor. The beer I have right now, it's called White Elm Brewing Company. And the specific beer is Fluffaluffagus.
Oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yo,
the white sound that came out of my throat.
Right? White Elm. They have some great stuff. They're out of Lincoln, Nebraska. This is the Imperial Marshmallow Stout. It is 12%.
Ooh. I forgot to say how much mine was. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't need to come to me. We'll just skip me. Oh, 5.2.
Quasto is going to be drunk at the end of the
episode. I need that fluffalop. I can't even say it.
Fluffalop?
Fluffalophagus.
Well, I actually have a couple of White Elms in my fridge. So the next time you happen to be across the country in the South, in the state that has way too many COVID cases, I will hook you up.
Well, because my nickname for my dad was Papalopagus. Because, yeah, I know. So now I have to drink beer.
That's adorable. Well, hey, cheers to all our beers and cheers to Tavor. Use Tavor. Get our discount. Use the code HAUNTS10. But right now, Ashley, should we bring in our special guest?
I am so ready to bring in this guest.
All right. Yay! What can we say about this individual?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this man is a singer. He is an actor. He is an influencer. He is one of the sweetest, funniest, sexiest men I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
Please welcome to the show, Chris Villain.
Wow. That was an introduction. What's up, you guys?
What's up?
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming.
For the second time. Yeah. Do the people listening know what happened?
They will now. Full disclosure, I'm a moron. And so the first time we recorded this, I did not realize that the recording would delete 7 days after we recorded it. I was taking my time. I figured, you know, I'll get to the episode, we'll edit it. And then I went to download it. It couldn't. Luckily, Chris is just a complete class and professional and said, I would love to join you guys all over again.
So I mean, I was waiting for an invitation regardless. So this is just another excuse to geek out with you guys.
Did you hear that ghost a second ago? It said someone 7 days or something really scary.
7 days.
Or...
There it is again.
Oh, yes. I think it's like a class. What is that? At least a class B.
Might be a class A. I'm not sure.
And for some reason, she likes whispering the Friday the 13th hunt theme, which is nice.
How did you know?
I forgot the background music for The Ring. It's The Ring. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's The Ring.
It's The Ring, but I don't think it has background music. So I appreciate the extra credit of adding the other one in there.
Yeah. This is not ghost related.
7 days, Candyman.
This is not ghost related, but when I was a teenager, oh God, I don't remember how old I was when that movie came out, but I remember going to see it. I must have been like 12 or 13 when it came out. And I went with my family, my parents and I all went together, and I got home after seeing that movie and my dad called the house phone from his cell phone and goes, 7 days.
No.
And I almost shit myself. I was so scared. I was like, this is the worst thing in the world. Why did I answer the phone? I had a complex about that for years, that when I went to go watch the Japanese version.
Oh, that's what you should have started with.
Well, you know, I didn't know at the time. The internet was like not as booming back then. But yeah, I remember I went to go watch the Japanese version of The Ring while no one was home. And then I had nightmares for weeks. So don't do that.
I do that to my brother-in-law often. I call him and say 7 days and then hang up
continuously. And then hang up.
Yeah.
And he keeps thinking, what bill is due in 7 days?
No, he's a scary, you can't even say Candyman in their house. Like, that's how freaked out they are. And it's probably because of my mom, because my mom plays horrible tricks on us all the time. Like, one time I came home and all the doors were open and Tiptoe Through the Tulips was playing in the house. And my mom was just dying laughing in the other room. I'm like, I'm gonna piss myself. So
I'm trying to remember, what horror movie was that? Was it Insidious?
Insidious, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Oh, yeah.
God, terrifying.
Fun fact, that song is also played in SpongeBob.
Yes, it did.
It is?
Yeah, it's absolutely in SpongeBob, and it is hilarious because all I can think of is horror when I hear that song, but then they play it on this cute little kid's cartoon, which, by the way, is the best cartoon ever.
Fun fact, SpongeBob the character and I have the same birthday. I know.
Oh my God.
I mean, we're talking about famous birthdays. Apparently Harry Potter and I share a birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what's
his name? That he doesn't even know his house though, and he shares a birthday with Harry Potter?
Yeah, I know nothing.
No. We were having a text message, Chris. You have to understand. He was texting us and he said, I share a birthday with Harold Potter.
I'm sorry, who? You share a birthday with who?
Old Harold.
Oh yeah, Harold Potter. I know good old Harold.
You know him, he's got a couple of rides at Universal, that guy.
Yeah. Oh yes, that Harold.
Potter.
Chris, what house are you?
First of all, I'm offended that you wouldn't even just know by looking at me. But I bleed red and gold.
Okay, first off, I asked for the audience.
I mean, I think everyone.
Anastasia, what's your house?
I'm a Slytherin.
What do you guys think my house is?
You're a Gryffindor.
A one bedroom, one bath. I don't really know what we're going for here.
Wow.
She's actually more of a condo. No,
I couldn't even get a cabin. I got like a studio.
That was rough.
She's a studio.
Look, I'm clearly homeless in Harry Potter world. No one wants to give me a house, so I don't even know.
You're going to be a Gryffindor.
He Gryffindor. Will be. I feel a Gryffindor.
You know what? Or he'll be a Ravenclaw.
Huh.
Quasto is incredibly intelligent. And don't forget what he went to school for. So he might be a Ravenclaw.
Sounds like a delicious beer, actually.
Maybe.
They do have some delicious Harry Potter beers. So
Maybe he's a Ravendor.
Maybe he's a Ravendor.
I'm glad that you said that you thought I was a Gryffindor. I am a Gryffindor, but most people right off the bat guess that I'm a Slytherin.
Well, you have to remember I got drunk with you at Harry Potter World multiple times. No, so I know.
Again, I'm setting it up for the audience. Why do you guys hate me?
I didn't set it up for my audience.
Good Lord.
I love not knowing anything. This is so fun.
Was that a fan calling in? Because that's what it sounded like.
Well, Ashley, going back to your story about your, you know, going to the movies to see The Ring and everything, was that before or after your trailer was haunted by the former owner of the trailer? I just have to know.
That was before, actually. Oh. And so fun fact about that, actually. So when I first saw The Ring, my dad did that phone call, kind of scared me, whatever. But I was really into horror or really into horror. And we moved into a house maybe a year later when I was living with my father. And we moved into this house where my bedroom was an add-on to the attic. And so you had to walk through my sister's bedroom to get to my room, to this little extension on the house. And when you go in, it's this tiny little room where like the floor and the ceiling touch at one point. And it's like a little weird triangle.
It's like a little hobbit room.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, in Gryffindor.
Perfect. And so the room was really weird and odd. And there was a bookcase. One whole wall was a bookcase. And if you pulled the bookcase, right, I know, it was really great, especially for a book nerd like me.
Yeah.
But if you pulled the bookcase out, there was a hidden room behind it.
What?
You had a room with a hidden room?
I did.
Oh,
That's the dream.
It was the dream, and it was really cool. My dad was so excited that that was my room because, you know, I was still a teenager, and so that was a really big deal. We'd get excited about it until I saw The Grudge.
Oh. Ooh.
Same theme. Saw The Grudge with this guy in high school, and I went home, and I didn't sleep. I was so scared out of my mind that she was going to crawl out of my bookcase that I couldn't sleep. I had, again, same thing with The Ring. I had nightmares about it. So many nightmares about it.
You should have watched Black Christmas in there because you know how he's living in the attic and they don't even know.
No.
I always think about that because I have like a small attic and I'm like, what if somebody's just like living up there and then comes down to kill me every once in a while? You know, like I don't know that.
When we first moved in, I opened the attic and this, the guy who owned the house before us, like it made sense, but I didn't. It was still scary, but I opened the attic for the first time. I pulled the bookcase out and there is a rocking horse in the attic room. Oh. I was like, nope, I hate everything. I don't know why we moved here. I don't want to live here anymore.
Wait, why did it make sense for that guy?
Was he an equestrian
or whatever?
Oh, he's okay.
Yeah. Like he was a sheriff or whatever, but like that was his side thing. It was like he built the room I eventually moved in. I don't know. It was a fucking thing.
Anastasia, you know how you said that you didn't know if there was a person living in so I just read a story online where this in fact happened, and there was a family who like just moved into this house. They were like thriving, it was great, until one day they saw like a creepy old man like in their living room, and I think the wife was like at home by herself or something. And so they thought it was a ghost and they're like, okay, what do we do? The whole family ended up taking like a mini vacay to kind of like get it out of their system. They come back, and as they're pulling up to the house, the husband sees the old man in a window and they freak out again. Long story short, he was living under their house.
Oh, no.
A real person, like a real creepy old man was living under their home.
See, I have a crawl space and an attic. I can't live like this. I have to move.
I'm just saying it happens.
I like how the guy had the balls to like just hang out and squat when they weren't around and then said, yeah, I'll test out the stairs and just stare out the top window.
Yeah, let's welcome them home. Why don't we just welcome the family home?
Wow. Oh, not bad.
I would be very upset, but that's what Black Christmas is. Like there's a guy living in the attic of this like sorority.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. The phone call we get a little bit later on this episode is the subject of what has been multiple movies, if you will. But that's a little teaser. For now, we're getting to the supernatural scoop because that's going to take up the rest of the episode because we actually have some current paranormal news this week. Here's the supernatural scoop.
Do it.
Huge news just a couple of days ago dropped, maybe about a week ago now. A Pentagon UFO unit will be making investigations as ex-advisors have suggested that, quote, vehicles not made on this earth were placed in U.S. government storage. As we all know, that's been honestly rumored for decades now, going back to the Roswell crash in 1947. But the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, or I like to call them the UAPTF, the team.
Yeah, if you're nasty, call them that. Yeah,
that's
rolls
right.
Rolls off the tongue.
It sure does. It sure does.
UPS.
They will be updating the Intelligence Committee on research every 6 months. I have a whole bunch more info, but just first thoughts. Chris Villain.
I'm like, listen, this is great. I'm glad this is publicly being announced, but like we all knew. What I want to be announced is like, hey, we got one. Like we got a little alien dude. He's going to be doing interviews next week. You're welcome. That's what I want. Because like this is cool. I'm glad that they're putting, again, like a public, this is real kind of thing. But anybody that's been into paranormal and aliens for any amount of time kind of knows that they already exist. So cool. Thank you, I guess.
Can we have him on the show?
Yeah, yes. I'd like to have him on the show. But yeah, I feel the same way, Chris. Like I feel like it's very similar to the Black Lives Matter movement where I'm like, we've been saying it,
right?
But now it's popular. But you know, it's like that to me. And so I am glad that they are going to investigate, but I wonder, are they investigating themselves and their fact that they probably knew a little bit about it before?
I have to think, like, this is the stuff that they're comfortable telling us.
I think the funny thing is that this is not front page news at this point, because the world is so fucked right now. And
why? What's going on?
Literally nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
Totally fine. I just think it's really funny that, like, of all the things in the world, everyone's just like, yeah, we know. It's just kind of...
Honestly, that's probably why they released it during... They're like, do it now so that nobody knows. Like, it'll be fine.
Nobody will care if we say it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a gentleman named Eric Davis who is an astrophysicist who worked as a subcontractor and a consultant. He said he actually briefed the U.S. Department of Defense back in March about the retrieval of, quote, off-world vehicles not made of this earth, which, if you don't know, off-world is a step above off-road. It's like more than a Hummer is what I'm guessing.
Where can I buy one of those? Is, like, Land Rover into them yet or what?
I'm sure Elon Musk will come up with something in the next couple of years.
No.
And he said that he's worked on his unit since 2007. The examination of the materials have basically failed to determine their source and led him to conclude, quote, we couldn't make it ourselves. This is an astrophysicist, which essentially means the cream of the crop in the United States of America that we have to offer. He's saying whatever this stuff is, we couldn't make it, which goes back to the age-old argument. The universe is so massive, it's almost ignorant to say there's no possibility of intelligent life anywhere else. And if you think about it, for how long humanity has existed, we have no idea how long other life forms have existed. They could be light years ahead of us technology-wise, which essentially is what people have been saying since 1947, when supposedly they recovered, you know, the crashes at Roswell, and there were materials that they couldn't explain. Now, if any of that material still exists, we truly don't know, because unfortunately, Mac Brunzel gave it to the government. And if you give anything to the government, you never see it again.
Well, that was going to be my next thing is, you know, when he says that, does he mean we can't do it because it's an intelligence thing, a technology thing, or a material thing? Do they not have the materials that they need to actually make something like this? Mm-hmm. And I kind of get the feeling that's a huge part of it as well, is this could be material that we can't gather and bring in and actually create this off-world, off-road vehicle with. So
yeah. I mean, because basically we can't be the best planet out there, right? There's got to be people that are farther along than us.
There's literally like, in my mind, there's like zero chance we're the coolest in the universe. Like, right? Take a look around.
We can't be. We just can't be. There's so much space out there, which is why I used to have panic attacks when I was like 6 years old about this. You know, like looking up, we're in nothing, hanging in an infinite thing with no end. That is terrifying and also intriguing.
Mm-hmm. What was that movie with Sandra Bullock?
Gravity or something?
Gravity, yes. Oh, yes.
The space one. Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then I thought about it and I was like, this isn't the scariest thing I've seen. This is the scariest thing I'm living. We are that. Like, we're doing that now on Earth.
Yeah, I would not see that movie because, again, my mom would literally have to talk me out of panic attacks since I was a little kid about space. So it's just better if I don't see that.
So you're on the thought process of that you would be frightened if aliens or extraterrestrials or other life forms made themselves publicly known, because thus far.
No. Oh, no, that's true. Okay. No, I'd be fine with the aliens. I'm not fine with the infinite possibility of something not ending. I have an anxiety disorder. It's like,
wait, isn't that like a thing where, like, when things are too large, that's like a phobia?
Yeah, it is. It's like the fact that there is no end to something and there's infinite possibilities out there used to make me completely, as a child, flip out. And my mom would be like, it's okay. And you just imagine a six-year-old going, we're hanging in nothing. There's no end. like that is what I didn't. Aliens.
That's how hamsters feel when they're on that little wheel.
Wow. It doesn't end. That's right. Now you made me scared of hamster wheels. Great. hamsters. Not hamsters. It's not their fault. It's the wheel.
That's amazing. You were a deeper thinker at 6 years old than I've been my entire life. That is something.
I mean, literally a few weeks ago, Kwasa was trying to figure out if he had to refrigerate olive oil. So yes, that is true.
Wait, for the record, No.
No, you don't.
I was going to say, because I had never heard of anybody refrigerating olive oil.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, through the quarantine, I've gotten on a bit of a health kick, did a lot of nutrition research, and I decided that I want to research the best possible extra virgin olive oil from all over the world. And right. I found some really good stuff. And I said, well, okay, now what? What do I do with it once I open it?
Nothing.
So I had to Google it. Yeah, put it in a cabinet, room temperature, ideally, and keep it dark. And that olive oil is going to chill for a little bit.
Well, that's a fair really question much, because I didn't know you had to keep soy sauce refrigerated until like a month ago.
What? Fuck.
Exactly. Dude, right? You don't know that. On the bottle, it literally says keep refrigerated. And like nobody's been reading that, dude.
I had this discussion about hot sauce recently.
It's probably refrigerated at the end of the night.
Because I thought about it, because I have hot sauce sitting on my desk, as you can see. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting on my desk. I have one in my purse all the time.
And yes, me too. I have three different kinds in my purse. Hot sauce
purse. But I recently, somebody was just like, don't you have to keep that refrigerated? And I was like, excuse me? I've never kept it refrigerated. What are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, you have to refrigerate hot sauce. Turns out it looks like Cholula, you don't. So I'm going to be
okay. It depends on the hot sauce. Yeah, it depends on like the preservative levels and stuff.
Anyways, back to the aliens.
Aliens and soy sauce. You have to put in the refrigerator after you open them, though.
Oh, without question. Yeah, I think Area 51's got a really low general temperature is my guess. Like they're keeping it at like 63, I'm thinking.
Keep that alien on ice, you guys. Keep him on ice.
So the biggest push over the last number of years is by a gentleman you may have heard of, Luis Elizondo. He is the former military intelligence official from the Pentagon, spent 10 years with the Pentagon. He was also a part of the History Channel show last year. That was really cool. I watched it. It was also with Tom DeLonge from Blink-182, who many people laughed at when he said, hey, I'm going to dedicate my life to UFOs, but I think it's awesome.
That's rude. Do you, boo?
Yeah, the show was called Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation, and he's been very vocal about everything ever since. I don't know what the government thinks about it per se, but you have all these top officials, and even going back to Roswell, anyone who has not read or listened to the book Witness to Roswell, it's the most comprehensive book about Roswell 1947. I mean, you had so many high-ranking officials, including Lieutenant Walter Haut, is by far the most vocal, and he's no longer with us, of course, because he was part of the whole Roswell situation. You have so many people who, whether it's on their deathbed or whether it's later on in life, who finally come clean, it's kind of hard to deny there is something. And the question is it understandable that the government wants to keep it a secret? Because let's be honest, we as human beings on this planet, especially in this country, we don't really prove ourselves to be that responsible.
That's an understatement. It's a massive understatement.
I think about that every time I put away my shopping cart. You've heard of the shopping cart theory?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think about that every time I put my shopping cart away. And I'm just like,
no.
What's a shopping cart?
Go for it. Take it away.
I mean, Ashley could probably do this a lot more eloquently than I will. But basically, it's like the truest test of like good spirited people and like not good spirited people, because like there is no punishment
and whether we're capable of being self-governing.
Yes, because it's like the only real kind of thing where there's you're supposed to put the shopping cart back. Yep. Like that's what you're supposed to do, but there is zero punishment for not putting it back. So you really get to like, you know, figure out where people stand.
The idea for the shopping cart theory is like, you know, are we capable of self-government? If you're the kind of person that is willing and able to actually put that shopping cart away, you would be able to be in a self-government. And the people that just like leave it and say, someone's paid to do that, those are the people that would not be able to be a part of a self-governing body.
Don't send them to Mars.
It winds up, and that's the thing. Like,
don't send me to Mars either.
It comes down to whether they are a good or a not good member of society in that sense. And it's really interesting. Like I'd recommend reading about it because it's such a little thing that technically does not affect you. Me working at a grocery store, I have to put shopping carts away all day, right? So when I clock out, the last thing I want to have to do is put away a shopping cart.
Yeah.
But do I do it? Yes, because that is a part of being a decent human being. I had an ex a long time ago where he used to get really frustrated because I would be like, put the shopping cart in the corral. And he's like, it's like half a block away. I'm like, no, it's not. Just, it's going to take you 1 minute. Just 1 minute of your life. Go do it. And they started doing it and it became a habit. And for a long time, they were really mad about it because they were just like, this is so annoying. There's somebody paid to do it. I'm like, it doesn't matter. That's not what matters. Like,
yeah, I feel that way about movie theaters because I used to work in a movie theater and like people are such pigs and we'd have to clean up after that. And it's just like, all you have to do is like literally take your soda cup that you've brought in and your popcorn container and you just do this. Not at your seat. You just go into a trash can, but people do it on their seat.
But these are all good parallels because, you know, when it comes down to it, how would people as a whole react to knowing that aliens not only have been visiting for decades, but are among us, maybe? Let's say that's a possibility. You know, Stephen Hawking actually has a very interesting perspective, or had one, I should say. He basically said, be careful what you wish for. In his mind, and his mind worked a lot better than most of ours, he believed that aliens making a well-known visit wouldn't exactly turn out that well considering the technology they may have. He compared it to basically Christopher Columbus doing what he did and just massacring the Native Americans. He thinks that that's what would happen. And it kind of goes back to, maybe that's where the movie Independence Day came from. I don't know. As we all know, most movies involving extraterrestrials are not exactly comedies. They're not exactly feel-good movies. Or it could be the fact that they do visit and they're just not interested because we have nothing to offer. That's possible.
Maybe they're just exploring and monitoring. Like, I think there is a motivation to go cross planets and to cause damage. Like, that's a good motivating factor for why you would make a trip. But I think there's also like curiosity and exploring and finding out about another planet. I think we could, that's a good reason too. Maybe they're out here for that. I do think a good portion of the population would, not a good portion, a small population part of the population would freak out and it would be like doomsday cults and crap.
Yeah, that would be, you know, most racist Americans would probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
They like, can't handle illegal aliens now. They're not going to handle outworldly illegal aliens again.
Yeah, I get worried because like I live in LA and most of my friends are either here or in New York. And so we got like coast vibes where I feel like we're very cultured. We meet a lot of different people. And so like, in my immediate circle, I'm like, nah, we would vibe with these aliens, right? Or at least see what's good. Like, we're not going to shoot first, but you best believe middle America is going to say lol and like launch a nuke.
Going back to Roswell, and I want to do a whole episode on this at some point, but the way the government covered up things, you know, by saying it was a weather balloon, that was such a quick knee-jerk reaction and a response. Looking back on it, weather balloons at the time were made of neoprene rubber and were no more than 1 pound. And that was their excuse. And that's what they went with. And no one ever, yeah, people questioned them, but they weren't really allowed to really question them. And you look at how we've progressed in 70 years. Like today, it's a fact, like our cell phones technically have more computing power than Apollo 11 had. So you look at how we've progressed in decades. Other life forms who have been around for a lot longer than Earth, perhaps, imagine how far ahead they are. You saw the video that finally went public a number of months ago of the Air Force pilots who couldn't figure out what the hell was on their radar, and it just kept zipping by.
Dude, I think I remember watching a documentary on Roswell, and I don't remember if it was the gentleman that you had spoke about earlier who worked with the government on the materials found, but there was a guy talking about he had handled the material, and he was talking about how it was basically it being like a sheet of metal that you could crumble up like tinfoil, and then it just re-expands and like retakes the initial shape that it was in. And I feel like that is very, very, very far in our future. Like that's nowhere near our near future of creating something that crazy, if that is indeed what was recovered.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
We got a message recently on our Facebook page about a weird noise that shows up in one of our episodes. And I just realized what the noise was.
What?
You guys, I debunked it. Okay. It was me opening my beer.
Wow.
Really?
Truth comes out.
I opened it and then I stopped and realized that's the exact sound that you hear in the episode that we weren't sure because somebody said, Wayne was just like, I think there might be an EVP potentially on the show. There was a noise. And I just opened my beer right now. And I think the reason, Quasta, that you didn't catch it after I told you to review video
is
because I kept it hidden the first time. And then as I did it right now, I did it again where I kept it below camera and I opened it and just...
Okay. Well, if I could rebunk, I recall that noise not sounding anything like a can opening.
I understand that, but
yeah,
play this back later.
Okay.
And hey, if I'm wrong, it could be.
Seven days.
It might have been that. It makes me wonder if it might have been that.
Re-expanding metal.
Yes. It was Lieutenant Walter.
Was it really him?
It was Lieutenant Walter Hout. His job was to handle the debris, and he actually went on record. Well, I don't know how, if it was official government record, but he has said that he looked under the tarp of everything, and he was one of the most credible sources that described what the bodies looked like. And I feel like his statement is what a lot of future television and movie depiction of aliens came from, because his description is a lot what we see. So I believe,
like,
Walter Hout's... yes, there you go. Yeah. I think Walter Hout's daughter might run some kind of museum, because she kind of keeps, you know, his word alive and stuff like that. So he's a, like I said, witness to Roswell. Just, oh my God, it's a fascinating book. He said they had the debris. They couldn't burn it. They couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
Wakanda, man. Wakanda.
Literally Wakanda.
Yeah.
I also have some fun facts. You guys want to know the 10 states with the most UFO sightings?
Yes! Let's go visit them.
Right. I would love that.
Okay, well, throw some out.
Trip.
Throw some guesses out. What do you think?
I want to say, like, Nevada or Utah for sure.
Not currently in the top 10.
Ooh, what about Alaska?
Ooh.
What? No. They had that whole movie about the owl thing. Okay.
Okay. California and Maryland.
No, not according to this list.
There's no other states left. No,
I got one. I got at least one more, because everyone and everything crazy that I've ever met has always been from North Carolina. So I'm saying North Carolina.
Agreed, but no.
No! Arizona!
We suck.
Florida!
You would think, but no.
Did any of us do our research?
So number 10.
This has sprung upon us.
Yeah, I like to surprise you guys. Number 10, Connecticut.
What?
Oh.
Number 9, Washington.
Real? State? Mm-hmm. Or D.C.?
State.
All right.
It's always state. It's never DC.
It's never DC.
Oh, it is DC sometimes.
DC is garbage. Oh, are we talking about comics or like the place?
Oh, different.
Sorry. They're both garbage. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. I'm not even going to go there. Anyways, number 8, Hawaii.
Hawaii. Oh,
that makes sense a little bit.
I would not have guessed that.
Why Hawaii?
Look at that.
A lot of open space.
Huh. A lot of open minds.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, I guess they probably have less light pollution.
Oh, that's true.
When it comes down to it, so they can see a lot more going on.
Number 7, Wyoming.
There's really not much else going on in these places.
Oh, like, they have no food. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Number 6, we got Vermont.
Okay, I was close.
And number 5, you guys missed the obvious one. We talked about it all episode. New Mexico.
Oh, you mean New Mexico?
New Mexico.
I thought that just was like, you know.
That was a given.
Yeah.
Number 4, Maine.
Home of Stephen King.
Number 3, New Hampshire, which I believe, what is it called? It's called the something triangle. It's like a 200-mile stretch of land in New Hampshire that's very haunted, a lot of UFOs. So that would make sense.
Ooh.
There.
They actually have like a weird, not like a Stonehenge, but kind of like a Stonehenge out there. I went to it because I had nothing better to do.
How was it?
I mean, it was smaller than the other Stonehenge. a little bit less impressive.
Did you feel like energy? Because people go to those places and they're like, oh, you could feel the energy.
I mean, it wasn't a super high energy place for me, but.
I'd wasn't
like to
it?
Apologize really quick. My doorbell just rang, so that's going to be in the episode. Sorry.
It's a doorbell ghost.
You know, when you do investigations, you have to mark the noises. You have to, like, call it out. You go, that
Six
was
days.
Like. You have to go like, that was my stomach. I just sneezed. I just whispered. Like, that's what you do in ghost hunting.
Oh, stuff. You mean like how you should have been saying, oh, I opened up a can right here.
Yeah.
I called you on your shit.
But first off,
Chris, villain to the show.
He'll never be on again. Just kidding. I'll bring him on all the time.
Yay!
But shout out to Wayne Poe for listening so closely that he actually heard that. So that was great.
Oh, he's great. Wayne's fantastic. He's been the entire time I've been investigating, Wayne Poe has always been like a name that I've known. He is another Los Angeles local investigator, and he's been to a lot of the events and things that I've been to. When we just went to go premiere, we did like a private showing of a show that I've been working on, and he was there, and it was just like, man, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, that's awesome. So nice. He's super amazing. And shout out to Wayne Poe. You're fantastic.
There we go. And the final two states, not shocking. I believe they're next to each other. I should know a map. Number two, Montana. Number one, Idaho.
Montana makes so much sense.
Potatoes.
I you know what? I just really have a problem. Like
with potatoes? Me too.
No. Potatoes are fine. I have no problem with potatoes. I have a problem with like any statistic that comes out of middle America for some reason. I wonder why. And like, if you're listening to this from middle of America, you're not the problem. I love you. I just don't know.
To be fair, there's a lot of open space, less pollution in the air, like Ashley said about Hawaii. And there's more time to look up at the sky.
Yeah, a lot more time.
It's very exciting to see what will happen in the future. We'll see what really gets made public. You know they're not going to reveal too much that will put people into a panic, but nonetheless, it's a topic that never gets old, and maybe someday we will figure it out. But we have a very interesting phone call this week. Would you like to get to it?
Yes.
All right, here it goes.
Hello, my name is Edgar Castrejon, and here's my story. I was a kid in Mexico. Me and a couple of friends were like the swampy marsh area. We were just screwing around, and then we hear little kids crying. And we thought, oh my God, the kids who were supposed to be keeping an eye on are in trouble. So we're going looking for them. And we see this like figure just like kneeling down towards the end. And we hear kids crying. So, oh my God, what's going on? We go running and the figure like just stands there. The kids we thought were crying were like right behind us. We see this figure just stand up, like turn around. And we hear her just crying and kids crying. I see a white shrouded figure, and other people see like a shadow. I see like just like pointing her arms at us, and we just book it because we have no idea what the hell was going on. And we still hear the lady crying. We hear kids crying, and we just never went back to that area again at night. It was hella scary. So I'm thinking it was La Llorona. That's what I say.
All right.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, that would be very, very scary. And, you know, after seeing the movie, too, the movie just came out, last year, too? Mm-hmm.
So what do you all know about La Llorona?
She is Mexico's version of the Woman in White.
A.K.A. Bloody Mary, ?
Banshee-ish?
She's known as the Weeping Woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's known as, like, the Wailing Woman, the Weeping Woman, prior. Yeah. And it's typically, and this story happens across a lot of places. Her version is a woman that was in love by her husband. She kills her kids by drowning them or whatever, and then she drowns her.
Oh my gosh.
And this happens, this is a very common folklore that happens across plenty of places. Yeah, and so, you know, hers is La Llorona. For America, ours is the Woman in White. Yeah, it's typically, it's really sad because pretty much across all the stories, it's about this woman that just was miserable in her married life, and she did something really terrible about it, and now she is tortured in her afterlife, and so because of that, she winds up finding other people to kill by doing that.
Or it's kind of like it's an omen that something is going to happen to someone you love.
Yes, because she was so like angry, and her death was very not violent in that sense, but it was very out of rage and out of neglect in her, you know, realm.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's typically pretty bad to experience or see her. It's never a good thing. Like if I happened to see her while ghost hunting, I would not be excited in any way. I'd be like, okay, right. Well, I'm retiring. So that's
yeah. Cool. I'd be like, I'm calling every member of my family right now. Like right now. Nobody's like, moving.
nobody wants to look for La Llorona. Nobody wants to look for the woman in white. And so that's one of those things where it's not just haunting. It's like a folklore that is genuinely scary that you've heard your whole life growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's always been used to be a thing to scare you.
And in the movie, in the most current movie, it is more like Bloody Mary or like Candyman in the
sure.
in the way that it will just like track you down and like kill you and stuff like that. But I think traditionally versions I've heard is it's like seeing a bad omen. It's like seeing something that is going to bring death upon you.
Yep.
I always like when like folklores like that transcend like cultures and it's like we all have our own version because I feel like that adds so much credibility to like there's something that's doing this out there.
That or it's a coping mechanism, but yeah.
True.
whatever you want to believe.
And to add to the tragedy of it, the story is that when she arrived at Heaven's Gates, she was denied entry, banished back to purgatory on earth until she could find her lost children. So the story is that she essentially targets kids. And some people say parents would use that to kind of scare their kids. But I mean, sightings have been across Colombia, Peru, Mexico. Recently, Paranormal Caught on Camera on the Travel Channel had...
Yes, I love that show.
Okay. There was a clip from Colombia, 2017, I believe. It was hard to explain. For 6 months, this small town in Colombia was tortured by this screaming woman at night, and they had no explanation for it. It was coming from nowhere. At one point, they even found a white dress, which they then burned, which was a terrible idea.
Yeah, but, don't burn the dress.
Yeah, just sightings everywhere. And it's been passed down for quite a long time. And so, yikes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope
you're
okay. I hope your family's okay. And also, we're talking about like heavily Catholic countries too. So this whole idea of like being in purgatory and all that is just, you know, as a recovering Catholic, I remember those days when that was terrifying. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to be where my friends are at, so...
Yeah. Did he say that he saw the figure in white and the people that he was with saw like a darker figure? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it was kind of a I don't remember the white dress part, but they said they thought it was a darker figure of a woman, and they were near a swamp too. So I don't know. I saw some videos all across different countries, different areas on the street in a park. The one really compelling video, which I don't know how it was made, if it was fake. Was basically a woman near a bunch of trees who was wailing on camera. So
I'm sorry, it was me.
You caught me.
Trees make me angry.
Dude, listen, if I'm in a swamp or in a forest with like one or two people and I hear a woman scream, like I'm out.
Yeah.
Like that's
it's just my allergies and
I'm Chris, I'm not really sure you'd be going to a swamp anyway.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to stroll up to a swamp, period. But if I was there and with my like crazy amount of mosquito bug spray and on top of that, hear a woman screaming, it's not the move. It's not the move. I would
maybe just go to an alligator tour and then during the day and then just leave. Like,
so Florida, let's go to Florida.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Oh, hey, we have a place to stay. I know a guy.
Oh, my God. Who is he?
Oh, I don't want to say. He's kind of a big deal. Johnny,
bring a hazmat suit. You're going to need it. But yeah, what's interesting, I'm glad. Edgar, thank you for calling. You know, La Llorona is just, it's a great example of how every culture has, whether you want to call them stories or legends or urban myths, they've just been passed down. And they're interesting to talk about at the very least. I mean, La Llorona is it's so fascinating that Anastasia, like you said, you saw the movie from last year. There've been multiple films made.
Oh yeah. And if it's not a whole film around them, you know, there's definitely been in other films. And also, was it a few years ago, they had a La Llorona maze at one of the big haunts.
Oh yeah. At Universal, I think.
Universal. Yeah. And then I think that was before the movie, right? I think so. Yeah, I mean, it was scary, you know.
Do you enjoy the movie?
I mean, I did because I like that whole it's like the Warrens world, knowing about their stories, even though they're kind of not in it. But I like that whole universe. Yeah, okay. That would be a good point. Because I think the Warrens as a couple are just so fascinating to me. The fact that they were like some like Catholic couple that just went around solving all these like paranormal situations. Listen, it might have been what my dream at one point in my life to find something like that. Like, you know, that might have been couple goals at one point.
True. It was literally my dream to be on Ghost Hunters. I would lay in bed at night and think about, I'm going to fall in love with this person, who I'll never say on air, by the way, because, like, I know this But in my head, I was like, I'm going to fall in love with this guy, and I'm going to be on this TV show, and blah, blah, blah. And I did. So, you know, dreams come true. And
okay, shout
so
out I'm- to Zach Bagans, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, shout out to Zach Bagans.
Oh, my God. I'm well, fine. You know, you're right. Visualization is important, right? So I'm going to visualize this right now. Right now, I'm visualizing I'm going to be the new Warren couple, and my guy is going to be Michael B. Jordan. He's just going to get into paranormal really crazily, and it's just going to be, we're going to be like the, you know, ethnic Warrens.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I also love you. That. Also, that's going to be the new promo right there. That I don't have to do the soundbite this week because you just did it. Thanks, Michael B. Jordan, for being part of the show.
Wait, it's yeah, he's on my phone. There we go. Oh.
Wow, that is a.
That's how we swipe.
Wait, don't swipe that. So I gotta ask.
That body is more intense than La Llorona. My Lord.
It's a work of art.
Well, if you would like to call us and tell us your paranormal experience, it's real simple. We have a voicemail. Call 818-660-6191. That is 818-660-6191. We have a collection of calls we're going to play in the upcoming weeks. But if you're listening right now, if you're a new listener, let us know because we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and paranormal, aliens, cryptids, whatever. We want to hear it all.
Cryptids are my fave.
Yeah.
Yes. Or if Michael B. Jordan's on your phone, call us.
Call us. And if you are Michael B. Jordan, call me.
Yeah, Michael, I know you're listening to this dude. Just call.
7 days. No, I thought we were on 6 days now.
We're on five.
5 days.
I think that's a good way to end the show. Chris Villain, where can people find you?
You guys, check it out. If you just type in my name into any kind of social media platform, I will probably come up. But mostly on Instagram, YouTube, and now TikTok, as well as Twitch.
Are you doing the TikTok dances that all the kids are into?
You know what? I haven't delved into that side of TikTok, but I will say that I'm doing some pretty fun and exciting things. And yeah, maybe you should check it out. I don't know.
I'm not cool enough to be on any of it, if it makes you feel better. Sometimes I'll remember that I have a Snapchat when Snapchat messages me that they have a new Snapchat to Snapchat me.
Mm. Well, Ashley, where can people find you?
Well, instead of Snapchat, you can find me on Twitter, where I am hilarious, by the way. If you're not following me there, you're making a mistake because I'm super funny. And Facebook and Instagram, all of it is at Ashley Trobe. All across the board, super easy. If you follow me on Instagram, it's going to be a lot of pictures of cats and kittens and food. So I'd recommend Twitter.
Perfect. Anastasia.
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, and Anastasia TV on YouTube, where you'll find a whole bunch of quirky comedy songs and stand-up. So boop, beep, beep, burp, burp.
Outstanding. And we are at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. And also, if you haven't yet, no matter what you're listening on, if there's a way to rate us and review us, feel free to do so, especially iTunes, Apple Podcasts, that whole thing. We appreciate it. And give us a phone call, leave us a voicemail. I'm also at Jay Quasto on all social media platforms as well. I think it's all time for us to say goodbye.
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 Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.